Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First up, the United States has said it is close to finalising several trade pacts in coming days and will notify other countries of higher tariff rates. Now, President Donald Trump has said those punitive higher rates will kick in on the 1st of August. Unless a deal is reached. You'll remember that in April he unveiled a base tariff rate of 10% on most countries, then additional duties ranging up to 50%, although then he later delayed the effective date of 10% until the 9th of July. This new date, August 1st, offers countries a three-week reprieve. But the news will come as another blow for businesses here who have been grappling with uncertainty since April and have been forced to radically rethink their supply chains. Well, I'm joined in the studio by Peter Brown, who's Managing Director of Bagot Investment Partners, and Kate English, who's Chief Economist with Deloitte. And you're both welcome. Thank you for being here. So, Peter, what do we read into this latest change in the date? So we've gone from the 9th of July, which was too close for comfort for many, out to the 1st of August.
Yeah, the important thing about the 9th of July was that to date, they've managed to do two very, very narrow deals in that 90-day period. The 90-day period was for everyone to go and negotiate a deal with the United States of America, about 200 countries. They've managed to do two narrow deals, one with the UK and one with China. Right, so they found out it's extraordinarily difficult to negotiate a trade deal, and we all know that it takes years and years and years. So Trump initially came out on Friday and said, "Look, I'm going to write to everybody. I'm writing to people and telling them, look, this is your tariff levels. This is your tariff levels, and this is the tariff levels are going to be by the 1st of August. And then Scott Bessent came out and said, no, the 1st of August is not a definitive date, and that we're negotiating. So the reality of what's going on here is that there's no policy behind it. Trump is just making it up as he goes along. There's very little. The UK, the EU is negotiating very hard. Japan is negotiating very hard, apparently. That's irritating him. The whole policy around tariffs, if we look at the markets and look at the volatility in the markets, and the markets are just completely benign about this. They don't care anymore. Right?
That's it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the boy who cried wolf. And it's just every time the tariffs are mentioned, the actual volatility in the market's less. And if you look at the volatility index, which is the fear index of the market, it's actually on a downward trend. Even after the last few days, it's on a downward trend. So we've got a situation here that's very, very concerning for business because we've got uncertainty. But for the markets are not concerned at all.
Because I mentioned, Kate, that this is a reprieve. But the reality of it, as Peter says, if you're a business trying to look ahead and plan and look at where you're going to spend and where you're going to pull back, it's impossible to make those kinds of decisions.
Impossible. So it's still that we don't know the rules of the game, essentially. And as whether you're a small business or a large business, how do you make long-term decisions around that? I think it was becoming increasingly clear last week that we were unlikely to see any clarity this Wednesday, July 9th. But now that that has been kind of more confirmed over the weekend, it still doesn't make it any easier for businesses. What I would say, though, that maybe aligns a bit closer with Peter as well, is that, you know, since April 2nd, we have seen, first of all, an element of businesses trying to firefight. Those who were initially exposed, looking to see, well, how can we combat these tariffs that are there? But as time has gone on, there's been a bit more of a taking a step back and going, well, long term, are we exposed to any one particular market, be it for selling goods into or sourcing of key components? And because of that uncertainty there, and that work continues right now. And again, the events of the last week, the uncertainty that's still there this week, only reinforces that fact of continuing to do much larger resilience type work around your business model, your supply chains and your eventual customer markets. That hasn't changed in the last week.
But can we come back to the point that Peter was making about the markets being benign around all of this? I mean, that tells us an awful lot, doesn't it, about how seriously the markets are taking Donald Trump on all of this?
I think it's because, as Peter said, it's incredibly difficult to read at the moment where we're going to end up with this. There's so much fluctuation and changes with policies or decisions that are announced. So they're taking it a little bit of as noise. But again, when you're back to an actual firm or a business, it's much harder to ignore that noise that is there. My fear, I suppose, as an economist in this is we know that at the moment that uncertainty is almost a bigger cost than what the tariffs are. There is a concern that that uncertainty will pause decision making, it will pause investment and pause spending even at a consumer level. Thankfully, in any data we've seen released to date, that hasn't come through in any large extent. We've had Exchequer results only last week up to June that showed an increase in VAT receipts, income tax, which was positive. And we saw good data released by the IDA as well in terms of the level of new investments announced within Ireland in the first 6 months of the year. But again, the longer that uncertainty is there, you do begin to wonder, how long can that continue further? There has to be some element of a fallout from this uncertainty and therefore inability to plan.
It would make you wonder, Peter, about the EU strategy here, because the Germans are saying, get a deal done and get it done quickly. But if the markets aren't taking Trump seriously on this, why would you be pushing for a quick deal?
Well, you can push for a quick deal provided it's a good one. Right, but there's a real indicator here of what's going on. That's the euro US dollar exchange rate. It's down 15. The dollar is down 15%. Now that's a tariff in itself. If you're exporting to the US and the dollar is buying 15%, your goods are 15% more expensive because of the exchange rate. Mm-hmm. That's a tariff in itself. But that reflects the fact that there's a massive exodus of investment out of the US. Right now, not from companies, but from pension funds and things like that. They're all exiting because of the US dollar exchange rate and because of the uncertainty around Trump. There was an overexposure to the US because of all the Magnificent Seven stocks and the hype around AI and things like that. So a lot of fund managers had over-concentrated into the US, and that's all unwinding. And the dollar is down 15%. You've then got the issue with the US, which is the biggest issue, which is the level of the debt. And who's going to buy it, mm-hmm. right? Who wants to buy it when the dollar is falling?
And the big, beautiful bill.
And the big, beautiful bill is going to increase it. So that is more concerning to the markets than anything. The Trump situation is, like, he's, you know, his nickname in the market is Taco. You know, Trump always chickens out.
Yeah.
And he's just continuously doing it, chickening it out. So you can keep that up for a while and the markets just go, look, we're just going to ignore you. The difficulty from a business person's point of view is it's critical. If one of these tariffs actually comes home and hits, it has a massive impact on your business. So it's still extremely difficult for people trying to do business with the United States. But the markets can just, you know, are so flexible, they can just move.
Where are the pension funds going to, the ones that are leaving
so
the States?
Europe is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Europe is doing really well. European market. See, Europe is got very, very low interest rates, very low inflation and stimulus. A lot of stimulus. Germany spending a trillion. America's got high interest rates, right?
Massive. Is there not nervousness, though, around what the EU could face in terms of trade with the United States? That's not affecting how investors see it.
The market has moved away from that. It's absolutely moved away from that, that they're not worried that we're going to see high tariffs. We're going to see a negotiation and a settle down. We might see 10% right across the board, and that can be easily absorbed. You know, a third by the exporter, a third by the importer, and a third by the consumer. But the economic data, the economic data is good. The economic data in the US is good. My unemployment figures are good in the US. Economic data is reasonable in Europe. We love Japan. Japan is excellent. India is excellent. Latin America is great, and Latin America is great because the lower dollar makes it cheaper for them to buy oil. Their debt is in dollars, makes it cheaper to repay it. There's a lot of great stuff going on outside of America. So investing in America, if you take somebody who's got their pension in the S&P 500, right, you're probably down 10% this year already on the exchange rate, and you're probably going to be another 15% on the exchange rate in the next few years. Your potential to make money there is very, very limited, whereas the European markets are roaring. And that you're seeing
that reflection.
See,
this is counterintuitive to me, because Donald Trump would hate that, right? He'd hate that narrative being out there, surely.
Some of his Donald Trump stuff is just so unbelievable. Like this morning, he's come out and said that the BRICS countries, right, the BRICS countries, who are really getting together and saying, look, we don't need to use this dollar anymore, this reserve currency thing. We don't need to own US debt to hold our money there. We can hold our money in gold. We can negotiate it with ourselves in our own currencies. He's come out and threatened any country that actually aligns with the BRICS mm-hmm. and that thinking, he's going to whack tariffs on them. So his logic is scattergun. It's not thought out. It's not a long term. It's scattergun. But unfortunately, I believe we're going to have to live with this for another 3 years.
Right. OK. Just to come back to bring it back to our own little narrow focus here for a minute, Kate, because we always wonder whether he's going to train his laser focus on us. And we had our corporation tax surging in June, 7.4 billion euro in last month alone, more than the entire year in 2017. Is that a concern?
I think it's important to note that June is an important month for corporation tax
rates. It's end of year, isn't it, for a lot of companies?
Yes, so it's a very, very important month. It is the month we want to see a surge, so to speak, mm-hmm. in. I think what we're most concerned with in Ireland now is what is the outcome of the review that's taking place into the pharmaceutical sector. Remember, we had an awful lot of focus on this in early days, pre-April 2nd. They were made exempt from it. They still are. And I suppose it's what is the outcome of that? Because that is something that could potentially change the dial here within Ireland.
And we've no indication as to how that's going.
No indication as of yet as to how that's going. But I do think also within Ireland, we are looking to as well, and there's so much focus on the US at the minute, but it's more so, what is the reaction of Europe? Because that plays into economic growth here as well. And we see it that it's one strong positive that's come out from this level of uncertainty or crisis is that Europe has woken up to the fact that it needs to be more competitive. It needs to improve its productivity. And there's a real shift within European institutions with trade policy now the number one agenda, mm-hmm. which wasn't there before. Peter mentioned India. It's no surprise that after almost two decades of trying to get an EU-India deal across the line, that it's now going to happen this year. And it's back to that process, I suppose, of trying to look at where are there other markets that businesses can look at, but also economic blocks as well, such as the European Union, that they're not overly exposed to one. And that one in this case being the US.
The European Central Bankers met, didn't they, in Portugal last week, and they were having that conversation.
Yes.
We need to refocus. We need to change what we're looking at. We need to do it quicker. And they were very self-critical, saying that we always get tied up in red tape. You just wonder how quickly they can remove those barriers now.
And that is the concern with Europe, is how quick can they act? But I think it's really positive that those conversations are happening. 6 months ago, 9 months ago, that would not have been the case. You listen to any commission that takes place, press release or press conference around ECB decision making of interest rates as well, and European competitiveness, the Draghi report, increasing the single market is always mm-hmm. discussed. So this is top of the agenda, which, as I said, was not there at the start of this year. They know they're slow to act. They know they've potentially overregulated to a degree, and that's what has slowed down innovation. So they're looking to see, how can we simplify this? Maybe not deregulate, but simplify to try and increase innovation within Europe. And if that happens, that is good news for Ireland. Mm-hmm. We benefit from that also.
Yeah. Peter, do you think we can capitalise on that quickly enough in Europe?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I think the dynamic has changed in Europe. I mean, the last 10 years, the focus has been totally on the United States. Technology, AI, all the investment was there. It was a total focus. And people got very, very blasé about, oh, just being the US market and everything's grand and things like that. And that has completely changed, completely changed. Mm-hmm. So now people are looking globally, right, outside of the US. Now, the US is a huge economy, so they're not going to kind of not deal with the US, but there's huge opportunity elsewhere. And Europe, I think, is really well placed mm-hmm. to exploit that.
But some of the big multinationals now have decided to build new plants in the States on foot of Trump's actions around trade, which give the impression that if they're going to invest, they're going to do it in the United States.
Well, there's a great example from the Motorola Google tried to make, they bought Motorola and tried to make iPhones in America, right? It was a complete disaster, right? I mean, they couldn't source any product. Mm-hmm. So they had to bring all the product in from China, and then it was an assembly. And then it just worked out ridiculously expensive. And they say that if an iPhone that costs $1,000 is going to be made in America, it's going to cost $3,500. So for these companies to open factories, it's symbolic. I mean, the factory's not going to open before Trump's term is finished.
So, yeah.
You know.
So you think it's just
appeasing.
A sop to him, just to appease him.
Absolutely.
And the real investment will happen on this side of the world, perhaps.
Big multinationals have to be. Like, I mean, I remember my early career in Barclays, and they were everywhere, right? The concept of them ever not being everywhere didn't exist. They were always everywhere. And I think big multinationals have to kind of, you know, the concept of them being just in America, that's not a case at all. They're going to be global.
Kate, do you want to come back in on that?
I just think it's a huge undertaking to move all manufacturing facilities to one specific location. And it comes back to, if we're thinking about the conversation we're having at the minute, it's all around competitiveness and making sure you're not overexposed to one particular economy or location, be it for your market to sell into, or as I said, source components for. Mm-hmm. And it's back to what Peter said, therefore, you're going to have hubs in all parts of the world, but it doesn't necessarily mean we see all manufacturing plants leave Europe in order to go to the US.
Thank you both. We'll leave it there for now. We'll catch up, not on the 9th now. Stay on the 9th, but maybe on the 1st of August. Thank you very much to Kate English and Peter Brown. Coming up next, Marty Morrissey on the hurling.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.